Colossians chapter 2. I'd like for us to begin with that text in just a moment. We appreciate your presence here this morning. We've had a good period of worship so far. We thank those men who have led us in prayer and the observance of the Lord's Supper and giving and in our song service this morning. And we hope for a few moments as we open our Bibles, we can put from our thoughts and minds the cares of this world and think about what God would teach us through His Word. I would encourage you, if you're visiting with us, to follow along with all of the texts that we look at this morning. I would not ask you to accept what I say simply because it's what I say. But if, in fact, you find it to be true from the Word of God, I would urge you to accept it and to implement it within your life. There is a medical condition that is known as amnesia. It involves either total or partial loss of memory. One who experiences amnesia may forget events that have happened recently, or it may be that some particular event passes from their memory. In some cases, one who is experiencing amnesia may not even remember their name or who they are. Family, they may not know. There was a movie that was out recently that I think that much of the premise of it was built upon the idea that one who was committed to another person had actually totally forgotten the relationship that she had had with that person. This is a physical condition, but it is also something that sometimes can result from a very traumatic experience. Maybe an accident that happens or something that is just such a shock to the emotion. Someone may lose a part or all of their memory. There are certain kinds of biological conditions that maybe a condition happens in which a blood loss to the brain for a certain time brings about amnesia. From what I understand, properly, amnesia is a symptom, not a disease within itself. Doctors, when someone is experiencing amnesia, are forced to begin to try to determine what the cause of that amnesia is. Properly, it's not just an isolated kind of disease in and of itself, because the causes can be variable. As we think about it in spiritual terms, I think spiritually there may be times in which folks experience what we could compare to amnesia. Whether you're talking about Christians or non-Christians, sometimes it's very easy to just kind of forget who you are. And as Christians, we may find ourselves from time to time asking ourselves the question, who am I? Christians need to recognize that the Bible makes it very clear who they are. And if we find ourselves in a position where we are wondering, who am I? We would do well to remember a few things. First of all, I think we need to recognize that as Christians, we are those who are alive who were once dead. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." In our adult auditorium class this morning, we began to look at the very first sin that Scripture records, the sin that was committed by Adam and Eve. And primarily what we looked at so far is we looked at the fact that when Adam and Eve committed that sin, they were excluded from the garden, which deprived them of access to what was referred to as the tree of life. Christians have the hope that one day in heaven we will again have access to the tree of life. But what is recorded in the book of Genesis is that those who were in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, as they were in the garden and had access to the tree of life, as they continued to eat of that, they would not have died physically. What we have not made it to yet in our class is considering the fact that something happened to Adam that was not simply physical. The promise that had been given to Adam and Eve in the prohibition not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was that the day that they ate of it, they would surely die. And in fact, that was fulfilled because their relationship with God was changed the moment that they ate of it.
The Bible will speak of that change of relationship, that sense in which we are in a relationship of life with God, that alienation, that separation from God, the Bible describes as dead. In the text that we just read, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul speaks of it in that same way, where he describes the Colossians as once having been dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of their flesh. As Christians, we need to remember there was a time when we were not living. Now, I'm not talking about physically. Certainly, if you are here and you can hear my voice, you continue to live physically from the moment you came into this world. But in that you committed sin, as all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all who have come to a moral, accountable age have sinned and separated themselves from God. As Christians, you need to remember, there was a time when I was a walking dead man. There was a time where I might have looked like I was alive in the flesh, but in terms of my spirit, I was not right with God. I was separated from God. And in such a condition, I was dead. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 with me for a moment. Romans chapter 6. Paul told the Colossians that that changed. They had been dead in trespasses and sins, but they were made alive together with Christ. How was it that they came to this change of life from death? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8 tells us about that. It's important for us to remind ourselves of things. Have you ever noticed how often in the New Testament the apostles or a writer of a particular New Testament book will just say, as a reminder or remember this? Paul does that here in Romans chapter 6. He talks to those in the church in Rome who are Christians, who have already named the name of Christ, who have already come into Christ. And he reminds them of what happened and how that was experienced. Pick up with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." I call to your attention in this text that it describes a change of condition, doesn't it? It describes a condition in which they had been dead, but they are alive once again. Notice it goes on to say in verses 7 through 8, "For he who has died has been set free from sin," or freed from sin. "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Now one who is alive in the flesh has not experienced something that we associate with death in the flesh, and that is a funeral. Anyone that has died, generally there will be some sort of ceremonial recognition. This person has died. They are no longer living in the flesh. In a spiritual sense, if we are to change from a spiritual condition of death to a spiritual condition of life, there is a burial that needs to take place. And the text that we just read points out to us how exactly that burial takes place. Verse 4, "We were buried with Him through baptism into death." If you're a Christian, you had a funeral ceremony when you were buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. This same text goes on to describe that in verse 6 as being crucified with Him. But notice, you're not still in that watery grave. You're not still in that tomb. Just like Christ was buried in a tomb and resurrected, baptism symbolizes and baptism accomplishes that spiritual burial and resurrection by which we can rise to walk in newness of life. If you're a Christian, don't have amnesia. Don't forget you used to be dead, but now you're alive. You're more alive than you ever were before then. You're living in Christ. You also need to recognize if you are a Christian, that you're a new person when you used to be an old person. Go back to the book of Colossians for a moment. Now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'd ask you to note with me in verses 9 and 10 a statement that the Apostle Paul makes about this condition. He's in the context talking about a number of things that ought not to be true of our behavior now that we are Christians. But notice verses 9 and 10 as it lists some of these things. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off," notice, "the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." You know, think about what happens to human beings as they grow from childhood to adulthood. You know, you don't find too many little kids talking about, "You know, I've just got this habit I just can't seem to kick." Little kids don't have habits in the same way that older adults do. They're not in a routine of just doing something the way they've always done it. And it's interesting because as we grow to adulthood, it's not that we are incapable of changing. It is not that we forfeit choice, but we just simply get into a pattern of doing things. Here, as the Apostle Paul talks about sinful behavior, he talks about that behavior as that which is true of an old man. You know, when a Christian dies to their old life spiritually, they need to recognize, you know, that old behavior, the way that I used to talk when I wasn't a Christian, the way that I used to dress when I wasn't a Christian, the kind of people that I hung around with, the kind of things that I wanted to do, the kind of things I let myself do, those were habits and patterns and behaviors that were true of the old man, that man that I put in the tomb. But now, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm a new person in Christ. As Christians, we can't allow ourselves to have amnesia. We can't forget that in Christ, everything's changed. And if we don't allow it to in our behavior, in our daily life, we must. We need to. We need to start today. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are a number of songs that we often sing when someone wants to be baptized. Immediately after they're baptized and we are waiting for them perhaps to come out and put on dry clothes and receive hugs and encouragement from their new brothers and sisters in Christ. The song that we sometimes sing that talks about a new creature, a new creation. I can't help but think that is undoubtedly drawn from this statement that the Apostle Paul makes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, primarily, I think that is the contrast between, you know, the sins that I committed before I came to Christ. Those are the old man. I'm not going to do those. I'm going to live like that new man. But, you know, sometimes having come to Christ, maybe you've been a Christian for a number of years, and there are certain kinds of habits, certain kinds of behavior that were true of the old man, that have returned, that have come back into your life. And it may be that you look at those and you think, you know, I just always struggled with this. I've just always had this. You need to recognize that having died to your old man, you're living again. You put away that old man. Now you're a new creation. That doesn't mean that once again you're just locked into habits. You're just locked into a pattern. One of the beautiful things about every new day that dawns is it is another day in which if we didn't do right yesterday, we can do right today. As Christians, we can't have amnesia. We can't forget that we are to be a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things now have become new. You know, as we talked about at the beginning of our lesson, the condition of amnesia, one of the things that can sometimes cause that is a very traumatic kind of experience. Maybe there's a car accident. Maybe there was a war experience where something was just so horrible that we lose the memory of it. My understanding is that even in the cases of abuse that is experienced by children sometimes, or sexual abuse that's experienced by children, a coping mechanism that the mind seems to have is to just sort of put that out of the memory. And so there is a type of amnesia that happens there. I would like to submit to you that as Christians spiritually, if we are not careful, there can sometimes be traumatic experiences that happen as Christians that can create a type of amnesia, so to speak. Maybe someone has not treated you the way that they ought to as a Christian. Maybe your brother or your sister in Christ has betrayed you or disappointed you or actually sinned against you. Maybe it's led you to feel like, you know what, I'm just not a part of this. You know what, I don't seem to belong to this group of people that claim to be Christians. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to the same text that we looked at, and continue reading in the next two verses. Remember, Paul just said, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Listen to what he goes on to say in verses 18 and 19. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, maybe that as you look at this text and as you think about this idea of reconciliation, it may be that you have the same difficulty that I think many within the world do. And that is a failure to recognize that when we sin, we are not in the same type of relationship, the same kind of family connection with God that we were prior to sin. If you would turn in your Bibles over to Colossians once again, to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. We've got to recognize as Christians, and if you are here and you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to recognize that sin is not just something that is kind of a preference that God has. Sin is not just something that God wants you to be a certain way or to behave a certain way. And if you don't, you know, it's not that big a deal. Sin is an act of warfare against God. Listen to the way that Paul describes it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. As he says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. Now, going back to this idea of the effect of a traumatic spiritual experience making us feel like we don't belong, we as Christians need to recognize, all right, in sin, I was alienated. In sin, I was an enemy of God. But when I was obedient to the gospel, I was reconciled back to God. I was put in a relationship with God. And having been put in a relationship with God, 1 John chapter 1 describes that when we have a relationship of fellowship with God, we have a relationship of fellowship with others who are in a relationship with God. Now, that being the case, we need to recognize, you know what, there may be people that have hurt my feelings. There may be people that have sinned against me. It may be that my brothers and sisters in Christ don't include me the way that I wish that they did. But you know what? We need to recognize, if I was reconciled to God, I belong to Him. And I belong to His people. You know, when your family may put you in a situation where they don't behave the way that they ought to, they don't treat you the way that they ought to, if you are a part of that family, you are always a part of that family. And the issue is, well, how can I improve this relationship? How can I make it where people understand I belong? How can you fit in the way that you ought to? You don't, when there's been some misbehavior, say, all right, well, I'm no longer a part of this family. At least that's not the way it ought to be. Same thing is true in Christ. Don't allow some traumatic spiritual experience to cause you to forget who you are And that is, you are one who has been reconciled back to God. You used to be alienated from God. You used to be alienated from His people. And maybe some of your brothers and sisters are acting in such a way that they have alienated themselves from God. But if you are in Christ, you're reconciled back to God. You belong to God, and you belong to His people. As Christians, we need to recognize as well that we've been brought near, although we once were far off. You know, as we think about the question that people sometimes ask, well, who am I? Sometimes it may be a type of amnesia that's not really a loss of memory so much as it is a loss of really understanding our place. You know, we use different expressions as we talk about some of these experiences that people go through. If it's a young person that's in college and maybe they started out thinking they were going to go into English and then they decide they're going to go into the medical field. Well, what do? They change their major. As we think about someone in older life, you know, maybe they've been in a certain career for a long period of time and all of a sudden they think, you know what, that's not what I want to be. Who am I in life? And so, you know, we sometimes will say, well, they have a period of middle-aged craziness that they go through, or they have a midlife crisis. It's a questioning of who we are. As Christians, if we allow ourselves to think, you know what, who am I? Yes, I'm going through all of the motions. Yes, I'm here when the doors are open. Yes, I'm singing the songs, but who am I really? It may be that we're kind of having that temporary amnesia. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to consider an example that we can learn from, and the example of the Ephesians for just a moment. We recognize that the city of Ephesus was in an area that was given to great idolatry. The city of Ephesus was a Gentile city. In fact, it was well known for a temple within that city that was honored throughout most of the pagan ancient world as one of the greatest pagan temples of all time. Yet we understand that that was false religion. That was false worship. But it's amazing to recognize that there were within that city some that had understood some things about God and some that would be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It says, therefore, remember. Notice that idea once again. Remember. Don't have spiritual amnesia. Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That is, the Jews were circumcised. The Gentiles were not. Sometimes that became a badge of who was a Jew, who was a Gentile. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ, listen to this, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I think all of us struggle from time to time with having that sense of belonging. All of us struggle from time to time with feeling like we fit in. Even within our families, we may sometimes feel like we're just outsiders. In the church, we may sometimes feel like we are outsiders and we don't belong. As Christians, if you struggle with that, you need to remember, you were once far off, like the Ephesians. When you stood outside of Christ, yes, you were an alien. You were alienated from Him. Yes, you were dead in your sin. You were an old man in your behavior. But remember, you've been reconciled. You used to be alienated. You used to be far off. But now, notice the way that it puts it, you were brought near. In the case of the Ephesians, how did that happen? Look over in Acts with me for a moment. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Certainly, there were probably... There were undoubtedly more in the church in Corinth, in Ephesus, by the time that the Apostle Paul wrote. But I want us to look at what the book of Acts records in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, at least at an example of a few that were the first to be converted in the church in Ephesus. The first who were once far off, but had been brought near. And I want us to notice what the text says. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." Stop there for just a moment, and a word of explanation is probably fitting. These, in a pagan city, a Gentile city, given over to idolatry, it's amazing to recognize how far they actually had come. In describing the fact that they had been baptized into John's baptism, it probably acknowledges the fact that they had either some Jewish influence or a Jewish background. Because you'll remember, John the Baptist had been the one before Jesus came onto the scene in his full ministry who was preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. John's baptism was not a full and complete baptism in the sense that it was for Jews to call them to repent and to come back and to get ready for the Messiah to come. But there was something that was lacking for those who had made such progress following the teaching of John the Baptist. And that was true in the case of these folks. They were far off. But listen to how they're going to be brought near. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. What had to change? It wasn't just enough that they had been dunked for any reason. They had to be baptized into Christ. And we notice that part of that which was a completion of the revelation within the New Testament, that part of that which confirmed the Word within the New Testament, that special role that the apostles had, where the Holy Spirit worked with them in power, was then bestowed upon them. Notice it didn't just happen when they were baptized, and we can't expect that in our day and age we're going to speak in tongues and prophesy and have that same sense of the Holy Spirit being upon us in power. The apostles had to lay hands upon them, as the text teaches us. But you'll notice they used to be far off, but they were brought near. If you have spiritual amnesia, you need to recognize, you know, it might have been at one time that there was no place that I belonged. Didn't fit in my family. Didn't fit in my community. If you're a Christian, no matter what you feel, you need to remember you've been brought near. You belong to the King. You have a place that you belong. And that's expressed in another way. Turn over to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. That sense of alienation can make us forget, you know, I used to be a stranger. I used to be a foreigner. I used to be an outsider. But now I'm a citizen. You know, if any of you have ever had the opportunity to travel to a different country, you get a strong feeling then what it is like to be an outsider. You know, maybe it's a country that doesn't even speak the same language that you're used to. Maybe it's a country where you can't even set foot in that country unless you've got a passport that identifies where you're from. And sometimes you may be asked, what are you doing here? What's your purpose here? Why are you here? You're a stranger. You're an alien. You know what? A Christian gave up that sense of being an alien and a stranger and a foreigner a long time ago, if you have been obedient to the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, read with me verses 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, listen to this, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a beautiful promise that is. What a beautiful recognition that is. You know what? I've got my passport. But what is it a passport into? Turn over, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. The one who is in Christ belongs somewhere. And that is, they have a citizenship somewhere. But it's important for us to recognize that that citizenship is not this country. You know, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud that the times I've been blessed to be able to go out of the country, I can have a passport that identifies where I belong. As Christians, we need to recognize, you know what, we may feel like from time to time we are out of our element. We're out of where we belong. We're out of our homeland. But we can't have amnesia that leads us to forget where our homeland is. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. In our Wednesday night adult class in the auditorium, we are looking at the book of Philippians. And one of the points that we made as we looked not only in the book of Acts at the establishment of the church in Philippi, but then we've emphasized, and we'll note further when we get to chapter 3, is there was something unique about Philippi. And I can't help but wonder that that's part of the reason that Paul words the statement that he makes there in verse 20 the way that he does. The city of Philippi was located in Macedonia, just north of the area of Achaia, all of which now is a part of Greece and considered part of Greece or Macedonia. But the city of Philippi was unique because while it was in Macedonia, it was not a Macedonian city. It was considered a Roman colony. So one who was born in the city of Philippi, they might consider themselves as from a background in which maybe they were Greek or Macedonian. Someone that was born in Philippi was a Roman citizen. And so they looked to a different homeland. They looked to a different place for their authority, for their standing, and their status. As Christians, the same is true with us. You know, we live here. We live in this world that sometimes is dirty and grimy and sometimes is discouraging. But let's not have spiritual amnesia and forget, if you're a Christian, your citizenship is in heaven. One final point, and we'll bring our lesson to an end. Go to Colossians one final time. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Our citizenship is in heaven, but there is another dominion to which we belong. And that is what is referred to as the kingdom. The kingdom is not something that is off in the distant future. The kingdom is not something, as many of our friends in the religious world think, will happen when there's a reestablishment of a physical earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. The kingdom was established when the king was put in a position of authority. The kingdom existed in the first century. And Christians in the first century were put into the kingdom. In the same way that if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, you are a citizen of the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Notice what Paul says. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. As a Christian, you need to remember, you used to be in the world, but now you are conveyed or delivered or translated or transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4 and we'll bring our lesson to an end. 1 John chapter 4. As we think about this idea of spiritual amnesia, so to speak, I think it probably plagues plagues us more than we like to admit. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, you know what, I want to go to heaven. But most of the time we live our life kind of feeling like, you know, this is where I belong. We feel like this is where we fit in. And when we begin to think that way, we're going to talk like the world. We're going to think like the world. We're going to want the things that the world does. We will struggle with the things that the world struggles with. But as Christians, if we refuse to allow ourselves to have spiritual amnesia, we'll remember where we really belong. We live here. We must interact with those that are in the world. We must try to teach those that are within the world. But we are citizens of heaven. We don't belong here. 1 John chapter 4, read with me verses 4 through 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I would ask you this morning, how's your memory? If you're a child of God, do you remember and recognize the fact that you were dead, but now you're alive? You were an old man, but now you've been made new. You were alienated, but now you've been reconciled. You were far off, but now you've been brought near. You used to be a stranger and a foreigner, but now you're a citizen in the kingdom, not a citizen of the world. How's your memory? If you're here this morning and as a child of God, maybe you've got a little bit of temporary amnesia. I would urge you to put that away. And I would urge you, if there's a way that we as your brothers and sisters in Christ can help you remember who you are. Don't sit back and say, well, who am I? You've got those that love you that are here to help remind you who you are in Christ. But it may be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And as we've talked about what it means to be a Christian, we've also talked about what it means if you are not a Christian. And I would urge you this morning to recognize and not allow yourself to lose sight of who you are if you stand outside of Christ. Because as much as I wish that it were not the truth, I've got to tell you that if you stand outside of Christ, you are dead. You are spiritually separated from God. You are living in a life of conduct that characterizes an old man, old behavior that must be put to death because you are alienated from God. You may pray all that you wish, but God will not respond and hear and answer your prayer because your sin has put you in a position in which you're an enemy of God. You're far off, away from Him. You are considered a stranger and a foreigner because you are a part of this world. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Remember, we noticed in the example of the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19. We noticed in Romans chapter 6 what Paul reminded the Romans about what they had done. They were buried with Christ. They put to death the old man when they were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If you're here this morning, would you not recognize who you are? And if you stand outside of Christ, put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before those who are here this morning and commit yourself to a lifelong confession of faith in Christ. Repent and turn away from that sin that characterizes the old man and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. That you might go through that ceremonial funeral spiritually, buried with Christ in baptism, to rise to walk in newness of life. Would you not do that? Won't you come while we stand and sing?